is the Capricorn FM podcast.
This grade 12 lesson is proudly brought to you by the Department of Education. Working together, we can do more providing quality education.
Good evening, grade 12 business studies learners, as well as Capricorn FM listeners. I am Mr. Marshall Nkedi, educator at Exila Secondary School. Today, I want us to focus on paper 2 structure together with frequently asked questions. And I'm also going to look at the paper 2 content. Remember that in paper 2, we've got two main topics, of which is the business venture and the business rules. Two main topics are business ventures and the business rules. And remember that yesterday we looked at business ventures, and today I want us to focus on business rules. So before I can look at the business rules, I want us to look at the paper 2 structure. And it's the same structure that I talked about yesterday. So business studies paper 2 has three sections, of which is section A, section B, and section C. Section A is compulsory, which consists of multiple choice, matching, and choose the correct weight, and which is equivalent to 30 marks. Section A is compulsory, and both main topics are going to be covered in section A. And it consists of multiple choice questions, matching, and choose the correct weights, which is 30 marks. Right. And section B, you're going to get three questions, of which all three questions equals to 40 marks, and you are expected to choose only two. So you're going to get three questions and you choose two for 80 marks. And section C, you're going to get two questions and you choose one for 40 marks, and total marks is 150. Right. Now, I'm saying today we're focusing on business rules because yesterday we did business ventures. Now, the topics under business rules are as follows: ethics and professionalism, creative thinking and problem solving, social responsibility, corporate social responsibility, and corporate social investment. Another one is human rights, inclusivity, and environmental issues. The first one is ethics and professionalism, creative thinking and problem solving, social responsibility, corporate social responsibility, and corporate social investment. And another one is human rights, inclusivity, and environmental issues. And the last one is team performance and conflict management. Team performance and conflict management. Right now, I want us to look at those topics one by one. And I want us to start with ethics and professionalism. Now, the first thing that we need to look at ethics and professionalism as per exam guideline. And the question is, define or elaborate on the meaning of ethical behavior. So learners must be able to define or elaborate the meaning of ethical behavior. Remember that when you talk about ethical behavior, it refers to acting in a way consistent with what society and individuals think are good values. That is ethical behavior. It means that the highest legal and moral standards are upheld when dealing with stakeholders. And also, ethical behavior is expected from every employee in the business. So that is ethical behavior. Another question, give practical examples of ethical and unethical behavior. Right, examples of ethical and unethical behavior. So at least let me just give you a few examples that are very simple that you can capture and explain them in the exam if you come across this question. So under ethical behavior, you can say using fair advertising. And under unethical, you can say using unfair advertising. Paying fair wages, paying unfair wages. Operating within the law is obeying the law. These are a few examples that I can give you and that you can mention, because I like these examples because they can correspond. Like you're saying, using fair advertising, using unfair advertising, paying fair wages, paying unfair wages, operating within the law, disobeying the law. You understand? So that is the second question that you can get in your exam. It's very important we have to know this question. Another question is elaborate on the meaning of professional behavior. So the meaning of professional behavior. So it means that in business, workers and all employees in the business must behave in a professional manner. So it is the standard of expected behavior from people working in a particular profession. Standard of expected behavior. So when you are a professional, you are expected to behave in a particular way. Right, another question. Give practical example of professional and unprofessional behavior. So remember that all these questions are derived from exam guidelines. So please, if you want to pass business studies and want to pass well, it's very important that you consult your exam guideline. All the questions that they asked in the exam, word for word, they get them from exam guideline. Please make sure that you do visit your exam guideline. So you'll get all the questions that I'm talking about here. Right, I'm saying give practical examples of professional and unprofessional behavior. Now, the examples of professional and unprofessional behavior are as follows. I will start with professional and then unprofessional. I will just briefly explain or give at least two examples. I will start with professional behavior. Using polite language to colleagues. That is professional. When you talk to people, when you talk to clients, when you talk to colleagues, when you talk to stakeholders, you have to use polite language. That is professional. It is expected from all employees. And unprofessional, using rude or impolite language. When you are rude, when you are impolite, you are very unprofessional. And then another professional behavior, good use of work time. And unprofessional abuse of work time. Another professional, treating all people the same. And then unprofessional, giving some people special favors. So that this is the differences between professional and unprofessional. Let's go to another question. Remember that you are talking about ethics and professionalism. So another question is, outline the differences between ethical and professional behavior. So the differences between ethical and professional behavior. Right. Now I'm going to also going to give you at least two examples. I mean two differences of this professional and ethical behavior. So now professional behavior refers to what is right or wrong or acceptable in business. What is right or wrong in a business? And ethical is what it refers to principles of right or wrong in society. You understand? So right with this one, right or wrong in business, that is professional. Ethical, right or wrong in society. Another one, set of standard of expected behavior. And ethical conforms to set of values that are morally acceptable. So this question is very important. The differences between professional behavior and ethical behavior. This one is always in exams. So please be safe. You have to know these differences between professional and ethical behavior. So very important question. Right, another one, explain how business can apply the King Code principles. Apply how business can apply King Code principle. Remember that this year in grade 12, we are dealing with only three principles of King Code. You are expected to learn the following principles of King Code: the principle of transparency, accountability, and responsibility. And with this one, you have to apply. Remember, the question is talking about explain how business can apply the King Code principle, how business can apply transparency, how business can apply accountability, and how business can apply transparency. Right. Another question, suggest or recommend ways in which professional, responsible, and ethical and effective business practice should be conducted. Ways in which professional, responsible, ethical, and effective business practices should be conducted. So we have to know all this way. We've got around 15 ways, but greater learners, you can at least learn 6 of them. You'll be very safe if you know at least 6. Business should treat all their employees equally, regardless of their race, color, age, gender, or disability. Mission statement should include value of equality or respect. Refrain from starting business venture using other businesses' ideas that are protected by the law. So these are ways in which professional, responsible, ethical, and effective business practices should be conducted. This is very important as well. You have to know these ways. Right, let's go to another question. Identify the following types of unethical business practices from a given scenario. So remember, we've got three types of unethical business practices, of which is unfair advertising, pricing of goods in rural area and taxation. Yeah, these three are unethical business practices. Unfair advertising, price of goods in rural area, and taxation. You must be able to identify them from a given scenario. And also explain how they pose challenges to businesses. So again, first you identify them from a given scenario and also explain how they pose challenges to businesses. Remember these three: unfair advertising, price of goods in rural area, taxation are types of unethical business practices. And the following are types of unprofessional business practices: sexual harassment, unauthorized use of workplace funds and resources, and abuse of work time. They are types of unprofessional. So please, grade 12 business studies learners, don't be confused. These do not fall under the same category. Remember, I'm saying that we've got types of unethical business practices, of which is unfair advertising, price of goods in rural area, taxation, and then types of unprofessional. The following are types of unprofessional, of which is sexual harassment, unauthorized use of workplace funds and resources, and abuse of work time. So you identify them from a given scenario, and also you explain how they pose challenges to businesses. So this is how you do these types of unethical business practices and also types of unprofessional business practices. So you're going to be asked on types of unethical and also types of unprofessional. They are not, they don't fall within the same category. Please understand that so that you don't lose marks. Right. And now I want us to look at the creative thinking and problem solving. Creative thinking and problem solving. I want us to start with problem solving. So under problem solving, the first question that you must do, define or elaborate the meaning of problem solving and decision making. You have to know the meaning of both problem solving and also the meaning of the decision making. Right, another question that you must learn, explain or differentiate, distinguish between problem solving and decision making. The differences between problem solving and decision making. More often, you must make sure that these differences, they do correspond with one another. If you do that, it will be very easy for you to understand them. So please, make sure that you know the differences between decision making and problem solving. Right, another question that you must learn, apply the problem solving steps from a given scenario or case study. Apply the problem solving steps from a given scenario or case studies. And another one, you have to identify or name or outline or explain, discuss the problem solving steps. So you have to name the problem solving steps. So the problem-solving steps are as follows. Identify the problem, define the problem, identify possible solution to the problem, select the most appropriate alternative, develop an action plan, implement the suggested solution, monitor the implementation of the solution, and lastly, evaluate the implemented solution. Now, let us pause for a short break. Welcome back from the ad break, and thank you very much for tuning in. Before the ad break, we were focusing on the problem solving. And remember, under problem solving, we have to know the meaning of problem solving and also the meaning of the decision making. And another focus area is that learners have to be able to explain or differentiate or distinguish between problem solving and decision making. So you have to explain or differentiate, distinguish between problem solving and decision making. And another question that you must know is identify, name, outline, explain, or discuss the problem solving steps. And remember that these steps, they must always be in order. You have to start with the first one and end with the last one. You can't mix them. So they must be in order. That is very important. And another question that you can expect in your exam with regards to problem solving, you have to apply the problem solving steps from a given scenario or case study. And another question that you can expect, identify, name the following problem solving techniques from a given scenario. So you must know problem solving technique, and you must be able to identify this problem solving techniques from a given scenario. And remember that this year, as per exam guideline, we're doing only 4 problem solving techniques. We have to know Delphi technique, force field analysis, brainstorming, and nominal group technique. These are the only 4 problem solving techniques that you must do this year in grade 12. Delphi technique, force field analysis, brainstorming, and nominal group technique. And please, you must be able to differentiate between brainstorming and nominal group technique. So with the brainstorming, it is done in a group. But nominal group technique, it is done individually. So please make sure you go and read brainstorming and nominal group technique. And also you have to know the impact of which is the positives and the negatives of problem solving techniques. You have to do the advantage and the disadvantages of this problem solving techniques. And lastly, with regards to problem solving techniques, you have to the question will be like explain or advise businesses on how they can apply the problem solving techniques. How business can apply problem solving techniques. So this is problem solving techniques. And now I want us to look at the creative thinking. I want us to look at the creative thinking. So the first thing or the first question that you must learn under creative thinking is that you have to define or elaborate on the meaning of creative thinking. So you must know the meaning of creative thinking, of which is the ability to think of original or new ideas or new approaches. Creative thinking can also be used to solve conflict in the workplace and encourage teamwork. So that is the meaning of creative thinking. And another question under creative thinking: explain the benefits or advantages of creative thinking in the workplace. Remember the advantages and the benefits of creative thinking that we did in term one. Like the first one, Iri, better, unique, unconventional ideas of solution are generated. Complex business problems may be solved. Employees can develop a completely new outlook which may be applied to any tasks they may do. And another one, a creativity may lead to new invention which improve the general standard of living. So you have to know the benefits or advantages of creative thinking. And lastly, under creative thinking, learners are expected to explain or recommend ways in which businesses can create an environment that promotes creative thinking in the workplace. Explain or recommend ways in which business can create an environment that promotes creative thinking in the workplace. So you have to know those ways in which business can do in order to promote or enhance creative thinking in the workplace. Right. That is creative thinking. And now I want us to look at the social responsibility, corporate social responsibility, and corporate social investment. And the first question that you can expect under social responsibility, you have to know the definition on the meaning of social responsibility. So the first thing that you must know under social responsibility is the meaning of social responsibility. What is meant by social responsibility? So social responsibility is the obligation by business and individual to improve the conditions and the standard of living of the community. And another thing that you must know, explain the relationship or link between social responsibility and the triple bottom line. The link between the triple bottom line and social responsibility. Remember, we've got the three triple bottom line, of which is the profit, people, and planet. Triple bottom line is profit, people, and planet. And we have to explain how they link with social responsibility. Right, another question that you can expect in your final examination: suggest ways in which business project can contribute towards the community, charitable contribution to NGOs, involvement in community, education, employment, and employee volunteer program. Ways in which business project can contribute towards the community. So you have to know ways in which business can contribute to the well-being of their community. And then another question that you can expect, identify or name the following socio-economic issues from a given scenario or statement. Remember, in grade 12, we are dealing with only three socio-economic issues, of which is HIV and AIDS, unemployment, and poverty. The question is, identify or name the following socio-economic issues from a given scenario, and recommend or suggest way in which business can deal with above stated socio-economic issues. How businesses can deal with socio-economic issues. How business can deal with HIV. How business can deal with unemployment. How business can deal with poverty. So as a grade 12 learner, you have to devise strategies on how businesses can deal with HIV and AIDS, how business can deal with unemployment, as well as poverty. Another question, recommend or suggest way in which business can deal with these socioeconomic issues that I've just spoken about it now. Explain or recommend or suggest ways in which business can contribute time and effort in improving well-being of employees. Remember, earlier I talked about well-being of community, and now also the business has to care about the well-being of their employees. So ways in which business could contribute to the well-being of their employees, as well as well-being of the community. Right, so another question that learners can expect with regards to corporate social responsibility is that learners must be able to define or elaborate the meaning of corporate social responsibility. Remember, corporate social responsibility is an obligation by business which is required by the law and benefit both business and society. Obligation by business to contribute towards the condition and the living standard of both business and society. And another thing that you need to know under corporate social responsibility is the describe or explain the purpose of social responsibility. The purpose of social responsibility. Right, another question. Identify or name or outline the components of CSR, the components of social responsibility. And the components are as follow: environment, ethical corporate social investment, health and safety, corporate governance, business ethics, employment equity, supply chain, customers, and the community. These are the components of corporate social responsibility. Another question, you have to identify CSR program from a given scenario. The CSR programs. You must be able to identify those programs from a given scenario. Another question, explain, discuss, evaluate, or analyze the impact, which is positives and the
negatives or advantage and the disadvantage of CSR on businesses and communities. The impact of CSR on businesses and also on community. And remember that both CSI and CSR share the same impact. There is no impact for CSR or CSI. Both of them share the same impact, advantages and disadvantages, or positives or the negatives. So you have to understand that one as well. And under corporate social investment, we have to learn the following. The first one that you must learn under CSI is the, define or elaborate on the meaning of CSI. The meaning of CSI. So it refers to investment of corporate funds and other assets for the primary purpose of achieving social outcome. Money that business budgets to provide solution to social problems within the communities from which they draw their workers or where they make or sell their product. And lastly, with regards to the meaning of CSR, the projects are not directly for purpose of increasing company profit. So it means that when business provides corporate social investment, their main focus is not getting return on investment. They're doing that in order to benefit the society or the community in which the business operates. Right. Another question that learners can expect is to explain or describe the purpose of CSI. Describe the purpose of CSI. So you have to know the purpose of CSI. And also, you have to understand or identify, name, or outline the components of CSR. The components of CSR. The components of corporate social investment, of which is CSI focus area. Community, rural development, employees, and the environment. And you must be able to identify CSR program from a given scenario. The CSI programs are also very important. And lastly, under CSR, you are expected to explain or distinguish or differentiate between CSR and CSI. Explain the differences between CSR and CSR. And lastly, you have to explain or discuss, evaluate or analyze the impact of which is the advantages and the disadvantages or positives or the negatives of CSI on both business and community. This one is the one that I just talked about when I was discussing corporate social investment, that the impacts for both CSI and CSI are the same. There's no impact for CSR or impact for CSI. They share the same impact. Hope you understand what I'm trying to talk about. So that is corporate social investment. So another topic that is very important is human rights, inclusivity, and environmental issues. Human rights, inclusivity, and environmental issues. Before I talk about the human rights, inclusivity, and environmental issues, let us pause for a short break. Welcome back and thank you very much for tuning in. Before that break, I introduced human rights, inclusivity, and environmental issues. And under this topic, the first question that you can expect in your exam is outline or name the human rights in the workplace. Human rights in the workplace. So this year, as per exam guideline, you are expected to learn the following human rights: rights to privacy, dignity, equity, freedom of speech and expression, right to information, right to safety, security, and protection of life. So you only do these six human rights, and the rest are not part of 2021 exam guide. So we're doing the right to privacy, dignity, equity, freedom of speech and expression, information, safety, security, and protection of life. But another question, you have to identify these human rights from a given scenario. So we must be able to understand that in this scenario, they're either talking about privacy, information, or protection of life. So you must be able to identify them from a given scenario. And another question, recommend ways in which business could deal with human rights in the workplace. How business can deal with human rights, mostly in the workplace. So you have to explain how business can deal with privacy in the workplace, how business can deal with dignity in the workplace, how business can deal with equity in the workplace. You understand? So you have to know and understand that. Another question that you can expect, outline the economic rights of employees in the workplace. Economic rights of workers in the workplace. So these economic rights are very important, and more often they come in the final examination. Ways in which business can promote economic rights in the workplace. The first one, free from forced labor, free to accept or choose work, right to fair wages, right to join or form trade union. So that is economic rights of employees in the workplace. Another one is you have to name the social rights of employees in the workplace. Social rights, of which right to freedom of association, right to basic education, right to health care, right to security, right to clean water, and social security. So, grade 12 learners, you have to know all these social rights. Social rights in the workplace. So, that is very important. Social rights in the workplace. Another question that learners can expect in the final examination is recommend ways in which business could promote social rights and cultural rights in the workplace. So you also have to know social rights and also cultural rights in the workplace. Remember, now I talked about four rights in the workplace, of which is the economic rights, social rights, and cultural rights. And another one is how business can promote social rights. So please make sure that you know all these rights, because either one or two of them will come in the exam. So it's very important that you understand these economic rights, social rights, ways to promote social rights, and the cultural rights in the workplace. Right, another question that you can expect, more especially under diversity. That is the meaning of diversity. So diversity means that variety of people employed by business, variety of people employed by business based on age, gender, sexual orientation, race, disability, and so on. That is diversity. So, and all businesses in South Africa are encouraged to be diversified. So diversity is very important. Right, another question that learners can expect in their final examination: identify or name the following diversity issues from a given scenario. Diversity issues from a given scenario. Remember, we've got around 7 diversity issues that you must do this year, of which is poverty, race, gender, language, age, culture, and disability. And businesses have to recommend or suggest ways in which they could deal with these diversity issues. How business can deal with poverty, how business can deal with race, how business can deal with gender, language, age, and so on. And lastly, under diversity, learners must be able to discuss the benefits of diversity in the workplace. Benefits of diversity in the workplace. So diversity is also very important. We have to know all the questions under diversity. And lastly, the last topic under business role is team performance and conflict management. Team performance and conflict management. So the first question under team performance is outline or explain or discuss criteria for successful team. Discuss criteria for successful team. And we've got only 4 criteria for successful team, of which is interpersonal attitude and behavior, shared values, communication, and collaboration. The criteria for successful team are interpersonal attitude and behavior, shared values, communication, and collaboration. And you must also be able to identify these criteria for successful team from a given scenario. Another thing that you must do is the characteristics of successful team. The characteristics of successful team. Please, grade 12 business studies learners, guard against, we've got criteria and the characteristics. These are not one in the same thing. We've got set of criteria and also set of characteristics. Right. Another question that learners can expect in their final examination is that identify or name the following stages of team development from a given scenario. Remember the stages of team development. And when question talks about the stages, remember the stages must always be in order. And the stages of team development are as follows. forming, storming, norming, performing, and adjourning. The stages of team development are forming, storming, norming, performing, and adjourning. So this must always start with forming, because when team forms, you can't start with storming. So the stages must be in order. And remember, you must also be able to explain or describe or discuss the stages of team development. You must describe, explain, or discuss the stages of team development. And another question that you must do, describe or explain or discuss or elaborate on the importance of team dynamic theories in improving team performance. So the importance of team dynamic theories are also very important. So that is team performance. And now, lastly, I want us to focus on conflict management. And firstly, I want us to look at the causes of conflict in the workplace. And these causes of conflict, you have to either outline them, explain, describe, or discuss these causes of conflict in the workplace. And also, we have to identify these causes of conflict from a given scenario. Identify causes of conflict from a given scenario. The last question under conflict management, learners are expected to explain or advise business on how they should handle conflict in the workplace. How businesses should handle conflict in the workplace. This is conflict resolution steps. Conflict resolution procedure. This conflict resolution must also be in order at all times. Remember, the questions that learners must make sure that they put in order. When you see steps, stages, procedure, process, then you must know that you must explain them or outline them in order. You cannot start with any of the factors. It must be in order at all times. So that is team performance and conflict management. And another one, dealing with grievance and difficult people. So learners, in this question or in this section, they must be able to differentiate between grievance and conflict. The differences between grievance and conflict. And another question is the correct grievance procedure. Explain or discuss the correct procedure to deal with grievance in the workplace. That is grievance procedure. And another question that learners must do, or the question that they can expect in their final examination, identify or name the following difficult people or personalities from a given scenario. Remember, difficult personalities like complainer, indecisive, overagreeer, negativity, experts, quiet, and aggressive. So learners must be able to identify this from a given scenario. And another question that learner can expect, in conclusion, recommend different way in which business can deal with difficult personalities or difficult people. Ways in which business can deal with difficult personalities or difficult people? And last question, ways in which businesses can deal with difficult employees. Remember, we've got ways in which business can deal with difficult people and also ways in which business can deal with difficult employees. Please do not confuse the two questions. Ways in which business can deal with difficult people and ways in which businesses can deal with difficult employees. In a nutshell, that is business rules. Good luck with your paper two, and thank you very much. Good night.
This grade 12 lesson was proudly brought to you by the Department of Education. Working together, we can do more, providing quality education.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.